Time for Judy Werpman and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, and also Simon Loses His Tummy. Good morning, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning. Good morning.
I worry about you. I worry about you when you hear, you know, poor you on Thursday mornings. You come into these conversations, and I always wonder what you think once you've hung up.
I think that I would like to live in an area where I could hear these conversations every day.
I think the radio program
is wonderful.
I forget what the old radio show was. Was it Fibber McGee and Molly?
Stop it.
But
do you know what happened? And I think
a wimp in a blimp. That's from Animal House.
Oh, I'm a wimp.
Well, I'm a blimp. I got the worst end of the deal.
Because I think that that's the first thing people think of when they see me.
No, it's not.
I really feel like when it's sitting in your living room healing this delightful conversation between two people who one would like to get to know very, very well. That's the impression of the listener.
Did you hear what the fundamental problem was about the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, though? Judy?
No.
Okay. Marshall, no. Tell Dr. Werpman. Tell Aunt Judy.
Just get to the show.
No. First tell her first
No,
what happened.
Just get to the show.
All right. I'll have to tell you afterwards.
Well, we're talking about something that I'm sure people who've had very little to eat on those three ships coming from England probably would not be worried about, and that is what was actually in the food they were eating, hopefully that it wasn't too contaminated by whatever was on those ships after two or 3 months.
Can you imagine?
But, you know, I sent you something about food labels, Jill, and we all take for granted, you know, that you pick up something, be it a protein bar or a jar of peanut butter, or a bag of potato chips. And if you are curious about what you're eating, what you're spending your money for and bringing home, look at the food label in the back. Sometimes it's big enough to read without a magnifying glass. Sometimes you really feel that you should race to your ophthalmologist and get new glasses because the print's too small. But nevertheless, in about 30 years ago, the government, USDA, decided that we had to have food labels on our food packages to tell us not only what the ingredients were, but more than that, what percent of what we were eating, what nutrients in those ingredients actually were contributing to the amount of nutrients, vitamins, minerals, protein, carbohydrate, and fat that we should be eating every day. But the actual interesting thing is that the reason for this occurred about 150 years ago, during the time of, right before actually Abraham Lincoln became president. The previous president, Zachary Taylor, died from eating contaminated food at a picnic, and a couple of years later, Abraham Lincoln said that the government should get involved in making sure that our food was safe to eat. Well, you know, one may debate whether it is safe to eat all the time, and I think the answer is it probably isn't because of bacterial contamination, et cetera. But what the government has done by putting food labels on the food is to tell you what manufacturers are putting in the food that you're eating that might contribute to your nutritional health. The safety is really almost another issue entirely, and that's dealt with another agency. And I don't know whether either of you have looked at a food label recently, but I was just looking at a protein bar that I happen to have, and, you know, looking at it, it told me that this particular protein bar, which I sort of carry around in case I can't get a meal, you know, was going to give me it had 20 grams of protein. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, if you look at it, it has, the actual label has a percent. 20 grams of protein apparently gives me about 40% of the protein that I need to eat every day. And it also had about 24 grams of carbohydrate, and said it gave me a certain percent of the carbohydrate I have to eat every day. I think when people look at food labels, what they don't realize, because, you know, nobody sort of tells them this is what you should be looking for, is that you don't just look at the number of grams of something on the food label, but how does it actually contribute to everything you should be eating every day? And it can work positively and negatively. For example, if you were to look at, and as I wrote in this article that I sent you, if you look at, for example, a box or can of vegetable broth. I happened to have some in my kitchen when I was writing the article, so I went to look at it. And it had all the ingredients, and to my great horror, when I looked at the protein, fat, and carbohydrate on this box, it said 0%, 0%, 0% of what I have to eat every day. The only ingredient that this box of vegetable broth had was salt.
Right.
It was shocking.
I the best way to teach people about labels is to say, so yes, I'm a huge reader because now this goes back to dog food. This goes back to, you know, to pet food, because what you want at the beginning is actual protein, not water. And then byproduct, you know, you want the chicken, the this, the that, and it happens to be high protein. So I know what I'm looking for on a label. But with processed foods, which is something that I've just been insane about for years for people, because I don't know why more time isn't spent on why an entire generation is allergic to everything, et cetera. But I wouldn't be at all shocked if, extrapolating from what's happened with antibiotics and antibiotic resistance, let's just skip over to the processing area. But what you basically have to teach people is that paragraph needs to actually be just like a very short sentence, like see spot run, run spot run of the ingredients. And when you look above that list and you see the vertical list that says 0000375 with salt, you know, that should connect to something other than,
That's right. And you know, and I'm ashamed because I bought this. I think I bought flavored water. It was not cheap for flavored water. I should have just simply taken the vegetables that were in my refrigerator and dumped them in a water that I could get from my tap and make my own vegetable broth, but I was lazy and I thought, oh, you know, I'll have this and I'll make a good stock for some soup that I want to make. Well, the point is the label said it. Nobody was trying to pull something over on me.
Right.
I had the label right in front of me and I could have stood in that supermarket aisle and read it and said, 000, there was nothing in this except salt and probably some flavorings that did not, that appeared in small print. And, you know, and you can look at other things. I mean, for example, you can look at a jar of peanut butter, and peanut butter is, you know, most of it is fat. You know, there's a little bit of protein, a carbohydrate. People say, oh, peanut butter is a wonderful source of protein. Uh-uh. Look at the food label. Or if you want to eat fiber in your diet, you know, do you have any idea where it's coming from? You can look at kidney beans. That's a high source of fiber. But, again, look at the peanut butter. That's not a very good high source of fiber. And so all that information, Jill, you're right, is at our fingertips. But we race through the supermarket, or these days you can you buy it from an online provider like Amazon or something, and you never get to see, unless you actually look at it once it's in your kitchen, what is in the food.
Oh,
and what's not in the food.
And what's worse than that, I'm sorry, but I've just watched a bunch, you know, people are so habituated to just clicking and buying that they don't even look at what they're they've bought. They're being advertised more and more to just buy it, just buy it. They don't know what the price should be. They don't know.
But it's there. You know, that's the point. You know, our government and the food processors spend actually a lot of money analyzing what's in the food because it is scrutinized and putting it on the label, and we just pay no attention to it. And what's really important is that now that there's so many synthetic imitation foods, you know, from all the milk that doesn't come from a cow and all the beef that comes from plants, that you can't even assume that what was in, quote, natural food is going to be in unnatural food unless you read the food label. If you, for example, drink a glass of oat milk and it has 20% of the calcium, it'll say 20% calcium. That means that in 8 ounces, you're getting only 20% of the calcium you need. You better go find that calcium, that 80% you need from someplace else. Are you? Are you even thinking about it?
No, well, and worse is the milk, this whole milk, oat milk. So, you know, that's not milk.
No, of course it's not
it's
milk.
It's juice.
And people say, oh, I don't really like cows. Well, have you any idea? Look at the other ingredients. I mean, cow's milk has all sorts of vitamins in it and protein, and it's animal protein, which means it has all the amino acids we need. Does oat milk? Well, because oats don't. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be drinking that milk. There are many reasons that people want to have it. But that you should take advantage of that information. And I suspect that, you know, we have just generations of people who just don't even bother noticing because it's there. And we don't see oftentimes something that's always in front of our eyes.
So just in our last minute, once again, say why it was. Repeat, please, for people who don't understand why it was that food labeling even became something that was the government decided to do.
Well, it first began because of contamination, what's called adulteration in food. If you looked at the foods that our great-grandparents were eating in the early part of the 20th century, you take something like milk that was loaded with chalk or other foods that were loaded with sawdust or chemical flavorings. There was strawberry jam that had little pieces of sawdust put in it to resemble the seeds in strawberries and artificial flavors that made it look red. And the government said, no, you can't do that anymore. You can't put lead into your food from the cans that were being used to process it. And so that first started, the government first started saying, don't put these ingredients in the food. They're not food ingredients. And then went on to say, okay, what's really in the food that's going to nourish you? And finally, you know, in 1994, I think we finally had a bill passed that said all food that is processed has to have these labels. It took a long, long time, and it's about time that we began to pay attention to it. You do, Jill. I hope other people follow your lead.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood. Bye.